harassment works.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We continue with Grant Cameron exploring what the government knows, possible government disinformation, all the players in this little group called the Avery, and lots of other stuff. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're back in the Paracast. You had 2 points to raise your answer, Grant, please.
Okay. The way it happened with me, and this is just my theory, but I was in it when it first started, the MJ-12 document, and I was with Moore and Friedman, and I was asking questions, because we put out a book called UFOs, MJ-12, and the Government. So we looked at big time at this document. When the document first was released in 1987, a friend of mine, a researcher, Bill Steinman, out of California, had the document. He phoned Dr. Eric Walker, and he said to Walker, and why we believed that Walker knew what was going on, he said to Walker, I've got this document called MJ-12 and, you know, this whole thing. And he said, you were supposedly at a series of briefings at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And Walker said, you know, look, he says, I've known of them for 40 years. Leave it alone. There's nothing you can do. You're up against the windmills. So I don't care what anybody says. From the word go, days after this document was made public at the MUFON conference in Washington, D.C. by Moore, Friedman, and Chandray, Dr. Eric Walker was asked about it in 1987, and he says, I've known of them, MJ-12, for 40 years. Leave it alone. There's nothing you can do. You're up against the windmills. So from the word go, I immediately believed that MJ-12 existed. Later on, found the document was phony, but that MJ-12 existed. And there are other examples. John Lear, now you can say all sorts of stories about John Lear and about his personality, but John Lear never really lied as far as I know. John Lear told me, and he's told the story numerous times, that when the document first came out, his family was friends with Twining and with Doolittle, and that his mother had Doolittle had a thing for his mother, and he got his mother to phone General Doolittle. And she took her 4 months to get up the courage, and she phoned Doolittle and said, John's gotten into this UFO thing, and he wants to know, General, is there a thing called MJ-12? And he said, yes, there is an MJ-12. That's all I can tell you. That was the second one. We had a source that we put in the book, and nobody read this one either. So this is holding my disinformation. It doesn't really work because nobody reads anything anyway. We had a source when we put out the book in 1990. We had a source who had seen either the MJ-12 document or something very similar to the MJ-12 document at a general's office in Okinawa. And we put this in the book. Nobody ever questions about it. Nobody ever asked us about this. So we had another confirmation of MJ-12. You have the Exler-Inman conversation where they talk about MJ-12. And I had a source came up to me when I was lecturing at Ozark from the National Archives in the vault. This guy works in the vault. He came with his girlfriend. His girlfriend was interested. He wasn't interested in UFOs, but when the document thing came, he sort of got interested in this MJ-12 thing. He told me that in the vault, he had talked to a guy who had claimed that he had seen the MJ-12 designator on a document when he was declassifying Joint Chiefs of Staff. So the point of the story is that...
Okay, but let me stop at that story. Grant, I need to stop here. Okay, so somebody tells you something at a UFO event. How do you know he's telling you the truth?
Because I went to Washington, D.C. I'm at the archives all the time. I met him at the archives. I talked to him. I put him in touch with Ryan Wood. Ryan Wood went to Washington, talked to this guy, and he said he's in the archives. He described to us the fact that he believed that the document they had, the one that they got out of the Suitland, Maryland archives, he thinks that they believe that it was legitimate because of the way they were protecting the document. He's inside the vault. He's declassifying documents. And he told all the people on the declassification team, if you see an MJ-12 document, let me know. And so he's basically inside there, and he's interested, and he hasn't found anything yet, but he's looking for this MJ-12 thing, claims that somebody earlier had claimed they had seen something. So the point of the story is that from the word go, I believed MJ-12 existed, that whether the document was phony. So I admit the document is phony, but the MJ-12 concept exists. Therefore, they're using the document to burn Bill Moore on one hand and to get out the concept that MJ-12 existed. That's why in the 4,000 different documents, they're putting stuff out. Let me give you a second example. I'm with Ryan Wood, and I'm in Laughlin, and I went to his house in Colorado, and we went through the documents. I was very impressed with some of the stuff he was showing me. There was one document he showed me. It was a citation for Cooper's father. Meant nothing to Ryan Wood. I looked at this, I said, you know what this document is? It's a citation. It's the NPIC. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, his father got a citation for doing photographic work for the National Photographic Interpretation Center in Washington, D.C. And I said, do you know who ran it? And he said, well, who? I said, Arthur Lundell. Arthur Lundell ran the Weird Desk. So Tim Cooper's father, there's a citation. It's in these 4,000 documents. Who's going to notice? If I hadn't sat down at a restaurant in Laughlin and looked through these documents, nobody would have picked this up because I knew the whole story about Art Lundell, the 59 psychic incident at the National Photographic Interpretation Center. Art Lundell's, I studied Art Lundell, and there was a connection there between Cooper and the UFO connection and why Cooper might have been given these documents. So these kind of things are coming out of these documents that are sort of telling a story. And the whole key to the thing is you can't ever release a legitimate document, because if you release a legitimate document that can be tracked, then the story is over. The Washington Post will pick up on it, New York Times will pick up on it, and the whole thing falls apart. You have to keep the cover-up going. As Kit Green described, you have to get this stuff out. You leak little pieces. It's covered in disinformation. The cover-up has to continue. The slower the material comes out, the better it is. And the other thing that happens is if I tell stories, you tell stories, who cares? There's nothing, as long as they don't control the hardware, the documents, they don't care. They want you to talk about it. They want people to be discussing this kind of stuff. That's why I believe there's a gradual disclosure going on, that they are releasing this material, keeping the cover-up going, and that's why it explains the 4,000 documents. That's why this is going on.
You know, one of the questions I always ask about this is, if there is indeed a UFO cover-up that began in the late 1940s, how do you sustain something like that for 64 years with different administrations, different priorities, different CIA intelligence people? How is it done?
Well, you have a very restricted number of people. The president really doesn't know. This is the story that Pandolfi said. We tell the president what he needs to know. In fact, Alexander, if you get Alexander on again, in one of the recent interviews, and it wasn't followed up by the host, Alexander claims he talked to Clinton. And Clinton, there's no doubt, and I've gotten thousands of pages from the Clinton Library. I filed over 100 Freedom Information Act requests. I've got all the material, and I think that Clinton definitely was very interested. Hillary was very interested. They were digging at this. They were going to researchers to get material. They couldn't get anything. So it's very closely restricted. There's a lot of stuff that goes on Area 51. What are they flying at Area 51? Nobody knows. I mean, it's like this.
Well, supposedly it's secret weapons. But the question about a president is, okay, this is the leader of the free world, the commander-in-chief. How do you keep the president in the dark about this stuff?
Well, that's what the question that should be asked of Pandolfi. We tell the
I'm asking you because you're raising the issue and you're quoting him. How do you do it?
Well, I just think the president, if you take a look at the president's schedule, the president basically is brought around, photo ops, do this, do that, do this. He basically has 1 million issues on his plate, and it's like the question of Obama now is versus. He says this is a waste of time. We have issues. We've got a war. We've got economy. And John Alexander makes his point, too, that the UFO issue, if you come right down to it, is really not in the top 100, 200, 300 issues.
Why?
There are a lot of issues.
Let's look at this, though. And the question I'm going to ask, and we'll pursue this as we get on here, is why shouldn't it be the most important issue of the day? Think about it. If ET is here, we have this advanced race. We can't compete with them on a military basis. They could present a potential threat. We don't know. They could be here for 60, 70, 1,000 years, whatever, have a long-range plan. We don't understand. This has got to be the most important story of the ages, because if there is a disclosure, one that we have no control over, everything's going to change. The entire world will never be the same. You know, it's going to get out everywhere. So, yeah, it's important to know about natural disasters, the Japanese earthquake. It's not important to know about Obama's birth certificate, because we never asked that question of any other president. But it's important to know about the state of the economy. It's important to know how we're going to deal with the deficit. How are we going to grow jobs? We understand all that is so important. Energy policy. Every one of these issues. But the big issue here is, if ET is here, that's still a humongously important issue. Let me ask you about that. But first, we have Grant Cameron. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast. Have you been sitting on a few great domain name ideas but haven't locked them in for yourself? Good. Now you can buy them through the number one domain name registrar, Namecheap.com, as voted by the top tech blog Lifehacker. Just like the name says, you can buy domains cheap, as low as $2.99. And every new domain comes with WhoisGuard, our special privacy service, free for the first year. Now that you know, it's time to grab those domain names before someone else does. Namecheap.com. Go now. Namecheap.com.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Dr. David Berry has provided excellent advice for all those interested in practical economics and sound money. It's certainly worth reading.
That's what Congressman Ron Paul said about Cha-Ching Wisdom, 123 Practical Universal Truths About Money, the new book by Dr. David Berry.
The cool part of this book, certainly it'll speak to you personally, your life, your lifestyle, your money, your investments, but it also can be generalized into the nation, what's going on as a nation. We do these same things personally that we do as a nation.
Dr. Berry's book, Cha-Ching Wisdom, presents many facets of your relationship with the once almighty dollar and how current national and international politics affect your daily life.
Some of the other things are about that. They're not just economic. They're philosophical. There's psychology involved in this book. There's philosophy involved in this book.
Read Cha-Ching Wisdom by Dr. David Berry, only $9.95. Available at ChaChingWisdom.com. That's ChaChingWisdom.com. ChaChingWisdom.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG clubs and survival bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
Is the possible reality of UFOs the most important story, the most important issue confronting a president of the United States or the leader of any other power around the world, the most important issue they can confront. Grant Cameron is here. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast. So go with me. Humor me here now. Wouldn't you think that the reality of UFOs has to be really high on their plate of issues?
It would be high on their priorities, but if you read the article I wrote on the 64 reasons why they're not telling, if you were to give the...
But you got to tell our listeners, because they haven't read.
Okay, but if I'm going to give the briefing to the president, I'm going to come to the president, I'm going to say, Mr. President, these things fly around, there's nothing we can do about it. We don't want to stand you in front of the press corps and have you going, we don't really know. There's a lot of people running around saying that they're being abducted, millions of people. They're all going to come forward, and we're going to have to answer the question about the abductions. Whether it's true or not, you're going to have to face this question. What are we going to tell the people? You're constitutionally responsible for the protection of the American people. Are you going to stand up and say that you really can't stop them from flying around or abducting people, taking samples, doing all this kind of stuff? It's totally out of the control. Mr. President, we've got some oil we can drill here in Alaska. It's not the end of the world. In fact, Walker told us that one at point. Walker was a guy that we believed there was no going on, and we were pushing when we were saying, Dr. Walker, you're an old man. Why don't you just give us this? It's important. Give us the issue. And he said, look, we haven't blown up the world yet. What's the big problem? And that's the whole issue. We got 10% unemployment. It's not the end of the world. If you release this thing, I mean, some of the scenarios of the stock market going down and crashing and not being able to bring it back up, there's a lot of scenarios that if you were to sit there and give the president the briefing and take a look and say, well, you know, the stock market may not crash, but if it does, there's nothing we can do to bring it back because, and this was told to me by a guy who worked for the Canadian government. He says, Grant, I'm going to tell you what. If you realize that UFOs are going to be disclosed tomorrow, sell everything you got because nothing is going to be worth anything. If you're a stock market, and I play stock market big time, if you're a stock market guy and suddenly it's going to be disclosed and suddenly Shell Oil at the opening is down from 100 down to 75.
It would be down from 100 to about 3 cents, I think.
Exactly. So everybody's going to sell. And in the 9/11 when they closed the stock market, you could bring the stock market back because you said, well, we're going to stop them from getting on the planes. We're going to put marshals on the plane. Anybody stands up, we're going to shoot them. And everybody says, well, maybe that's those control things. But what do you say about the UFO thing? There's nothing. It's totally out of the government's control. There's nothing they can do about it. They can't stop it. They have no control. And if you are the president, if you are the person who's controlling the president of the United States, you do not want the president of the United States, the most powerful man in the world, to be standing up and looking like an idiot who can control nothing.
The issue is toxic. I mean, Alexander used that word several times in his book, and I do agree. I mean, it is a toxic no-win situation. You're opening up Pandolfi's box or Pandora's box by even acknowledging that it is an issue. So what I'm getting here, Grant, is that you're suggesting that we're actually seeing disclosure, but it is a very orchestrated, nuanced, incremental disclosure that's totally wrapped around alleged events like the Serpo scenario, where we've already sent people to another planet and some of them didn't come back. And, you know, I'm not sure how much our listeners know about that particular.
We had a show on this early in the life cycle of the PowerCast. The only thing is here, I read the documents and they read to me like childish science fiction. For example, you have descriptions of life on this other planet by the exchange students or military officials or soldiers, and they were describing bathroom movements and stuff like that, and you think, you know what, this is teenaged.
Okay, but the stuff is floating around. That's what they want. They want this material. And there's a guy in the United Kingdom, a friend of mine, Robbie Graham, who's actually doing a PhD thesis on this, about this whole idea of dropping this stuff into movies and advertising and this sort of stuff. And this is gradual. They want it to happen slow because there's nothing. You cannot. I mean, Stan Friedman makes the argument. You can, and a lot of people make the argument. It's just not Stan. You can say UFOs exist, and we're not talking about the rest because it's classified. Absolutely ain't going to happen. The minute you say ET is real, there's something here happening, suddenly 5,000 news crews appear at the White House. And the questions will start, and within 5 minutes, someone's going to ask them about abductions. Someone's going to ask them about cattle being illegal. What about all these angry cattle guys in the West? And there's lawsuits, and it's just a total nightmare. We're not going there. Just leave it alone. And that's what I think they're doing. They're gradually trying to get some of this stuff out so that if it collapses, you're not at square one. At least you're halfway down the road. And in fact, Kit Green talks about this. He says, you put out all this crazy stuff about live aliens and they're eating our people and all this kind of stuff. And then when it breaks, you say, oh, it's really not all that bad. It's just E.T. coming here. And everybody goes, oh, okay. And what Kit Green is saying, it's different if it's just some wacko on the street. But Kit Green is a respected CIA guy who's a medical background, who's never really said anything really stupid. And when Kit Green says this kind of stuff, it backs up what seems to be explaining what's going on. Because any theory that I think people bring up has to explain as much of the 100% of the evidence as possible. What John Alexander's theories do, they explain if you only take a look at 50%, yes, then that's the answer. But you can't just say MJ-12 was a phony document and Bill Moore was working disinformation, and then when the vast majority of the documents appear after he leaves, just sort of ignore them. It's happening for a reason. This is not Bill Moore. Because Bill Moore is gone. It's not Tim Cooper. It's not Richard Doty. This is an organization putting this stuff out. And if there's an organization putting it out, they're putting it out for a reason. And my theory may be wrong, but I'm just trying to figure out why is someone going through all this effort? Why is Gandolfi allowed to go out and say stuff and not get fired? I can't believe it. I said, like, how can this guy say this kind of stuff and he doesn't get fired? It's just unbelievable.
Maybe they consider him a harmless wacko.
Well,
no, it's sanctioned. It's sanctioned. These guys don't do anything by accident.
Sure, Dan Smith said he had him investigated, and the investigation went for 6 months, and they came back and said, it's okay. So it is sanctioned. This is a part of something that he is doing for a reason. I'm trying to figure out, why is he doing this? Why is he allowed to do this kind of stuff? And what is exactly going on? And I think it's higher than the president, that the president, it's sort of, they've told him to leave it alone. He knows there's something going on, but better just to stay away. You don't really want to know, you know, plausible deniability, this kind of stuff.
You know what, though, it also implies the president is not as all-powerful as we want to think, that it's possible for the NSA or the existing military-industrial complex or the existing structure to go into the office of a President Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, all these presidents through the years and say, you know what, this is happening, but you can't do anything about it. And if you open up your mouth, you're going to say something that will cause further difficulties, that they have to be persuaded, because they can also be loose cannons. And they'll say, you know what, I'm the leader of the free world. You can't tell me what to do or how to do it. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to tell the truth. Are there any consequences? Can they put those guys down if they try to do that?
But have they ever done it? Obama said, I'm going to have openness, all these different things. What secret has he released on anything? Nothing. You play the game. You're president. Yeah. You want to go down in history as a guy. Suddenly it's your CIA. Suddenly it's your UFO cover-up. Suddenly it's your war in Iraq. Suddenly it's all yours, and you're going to do what everybody else does. You're going to play the game. You're not going to upset the apple cart because you want to go down in history as the guy. It's like, leave it for the next guy. The next guy can take care of this.
We have Grant Cameron. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral,
antiviral and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
The U.S. economy is at a tipping point. 40 cents of every dollar the government spends is borrowed. The president of the Federal Reserve in Dallas was recently quoted saying, "This path will lead to insolvency, resulting in the collapse of our government and our economy. Our country can't function like this, and neither can your household. That's why you need to prepare, and priority one is your food supply. Fortunately, it's easy and affordable with the help of Ready Reserve Foods. Ready Reserve Foods has been a premier supplier of long-term storable foods for 37 years. Their unique process assures the highest quality long-term food storage available with a 25-year shelf life. A full year supply of quality food for two people costs a fraction of what you pay at the grocery store. For a free full-color catalog, call 800-453-2202. That's 800-453-2202. Or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Ready Reserve Foods, making preparedness simple since 1972.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at CrossbreedHolsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Okay, so what do the presidents of the United States, President Carter especially because he supposedly saw a UFO, what do they know? When did they know it? And can the existing structure, whoever they might be, the intelligence structure, go in, tell the president of the United States, newly elected, taking office, oh, by the way, yeah, there might be something to UFOs, but look what's going to happen to you or to the country or to the world if you talk.
Yeah. In all the years I've worked on the presidents, I think you can make an argument for both. And you can take Jimmy Carter, for example. Jimmy Carter came in, had the UFO sighting, said he was going to get everything out in the open. But the part of the statement everybody leaves out is that he said, but if it has to do with national security or advanced weapons, I wouldn't talk about that. And that's the part that everybody always leaves out. So he gets into the White House. There's a lot of stories. In fact, Bill Moore, one of the documents he was floating around was this curious thing about the briefing in June of 1977 or whatever, basically stating that he was briefed. There's all these stories. There was a Secret Service agent under Jimmy Carter who claimed that Jimmy Carter was told the story and that he was shown a color 15-minute film of a landing at an Air Force base. And this is, of course, the Holloman Air Force Base story. There's two other presidents where we're sure they've been told this is part of the briefing. So he's told that. There's a story that Jimmy Carter came out crying. The story that Billy Graham is in there to hold the president's hand. I mean, this stuff, it's so hard to substantiate. Jimmy Carter does push the issue. The vast majority of the documents that we have through Freedom of Information Today all came out under the Carter administration. He shook the tree. He had Jody Powell going to the FBI. He had Frank Press going to NASA. He had different people going around and shaking and to get the material that he wasn't able to. If you listen to what Shirley MacLaine says, Shirley MacLaine talked to him, and Shirley MacLaine makes the statement that Jimmy Carter told her when she wrote the book Out on a Limb that it was true. There were occupants.
Sure, do you believe Shirley MacLaine? She's supposedly just a wacko actress.
Absolutely believe it. Why would she lie what Jimmy Carter told her? She's on Larry King Live. Why would she lie about it? In fact, there was Nicolas Cage, the week before, was on Letterman's show, who had said that Shirley was told that he had seen the bodies in the craft. And she said, well, no, he didn't tell me that, but he did tell me. And then she said he tried to open it up under the sunshine, but he couldn't and wouldn't, as he told me. And she's talked numerous times about talking to Jimmy Carter about it, and that he had basically confirmed her, yes, this was for real. But on the other hand, there are a number of stories where now if you hear Jimmy Carter interviewed, he'll basically now state he doesn't even believe their ETs come here from another planet. And if you see, he was interviewed by a skeptical host on a radio internet show, and on that one, he denied that he'd asked George Bush for the files. And that was the rumored story that when he was getting the president-elect briefing, which is done by the former CIA director of the administration before, that he'd asked Bush for the CIA files. Now he's even denying that he asked for the UFO files. So, and on any of them, you can play both sides of the fence that they know, they don't know. If you listen to Robert Collins maintains, he says to me numerous times, he says, don't be stupid. He said, they're all told what's going on. They're given a basic briefing, and they're told, and they know to keep it secret. On the other hand, if you listen to Bill Clinton has talked about UFOs on a number of occasions and always says, I tried to find out about Roswell, and then he says, I'm probably not the first president that they've kept in the dark or that bureaucrats have tried to wait out. And when you get
Where did he say that?
He said it in Hong Kong in September of 2005 in front of an investment seminar. It's at the Presidential UFO website. We recovered the actual videotape of him saying that.
Let's go back to maybe the earlier history. We hear so many rumors that President Eisenhower, which some people believe was one of the last great presidents out there, because we had this great prosperity in the 50s. You know, everybody had a home if they wanted to get one. Everybody was well fed, not so much poverty, whatever. I mean, the real issues are not so pristine, but whatever. Pleasantville, USA. What did Eisenhower know? We always have these stories, for example, that he went to this bunker or somewhere and saw a spaceship. He saw E.T. What's the real skinny on all that?
There's really nothing concrete. We know the story, for example, the story at Edwards Air Force Base. I went there. Bill Moore looked at this story, went to the Eisenhower Library, checked the whole story. I went, checked all the same documents, spent days there checking all this sort of stuff. The story was that he was at Palm Springs in February of 1954 and that he was scurried off to Edwards to see Bill Moore tells the story of dead aliens. The original story in 1954 was that the aliens were interacting with him, and then later on you get Cooper and some of these other people adding the story of the interaction and the agreement to abduct people and all this nonsense. And almost all of it is sort of made up, added on, disinformation from Richard Doty or whoever adding this stuff on. There's all we know for a fact, and there's no doubt that he disappeared for a period of time at Palm Springs, California, and that the press secretary, Haggerty, had to come out and calm the press down because somebody was about to put it on the wire that he had died of a heart attack. We know this is all in the documents. But as to what happened, where did he go, really, that's where it all becomes foggy. After Truman, it's all very foggy as to what people knew. There's important people under presidents who knew various materials. Like, for example, Arthur Lundahl was, as I mentioned, the head of the Weird Desk under Kennedy. And Arthur Lundahl was the guy who went into president's office and gave him the briefing on the missiles in Cuba. And because he ran the National Photographic Interpretation Center, where all the U-2, the SR-71, and the spy photographs were analyzed. So he was very interested, and he was under Kennedy. So there's four important people in administrations. But there really, if you come right down to it, with presidents, there is really no hard evidence that really links a president into any of the events. There might be one example. For example, there was a story that was always told when you listen to the Roswell story about the fact that various people were sworn to secrecy by the president. And what I had done is I'd taken the names of these various people at Roswell and had gone and checked the records at Truman Library, and none of them checked. So I went to Tom Carey and I said, none of this stuff checks. Who are these people? Why is this not checking? And they said, well, it wasn't the president. It was a Secret Service agent on behalf of the president swearing people to secrecy at Roswell. So I said, okay, so what was the guy's name? So they gave me the guy's name, and the guy's name was Gerald McCann, spelled with two N's on the end. So I went, checked the Truman Library, and sure enough, there was a Secret Service agent under the president, Gerald McCann. And this is the story all these different people you'll hear that were sworn to secrecy at Roswell were sworn to secrecy by Gerald McCann. Now, to me, that was a very concrete sort of piece of evidence that indicated that, yes, the president, Truman, did know about Roswell. And when you take a look at, but if you look at the phone records, I pulled all the phone records from the switchboard, the White House switchboard, from the president, all his phone calls during the Roswell period, his appointment secretary is very important. Anybody wanted to see the president, get to the president, you had to go through the appointment secretary, all his phone calls. There's absolutely no phone calls in that time period that would indicate that the president knew what was going on at Roswell. There's
sure,
no
but wouldn't you massage to... those records if you wanted to keep them secret? How do you know those records are complete?
I mean, anything's possible, but these are handwritten records. I mean, these are like, you know, for little cards, you know, like little cards where they, I mean, they went through a lot of work if they were able to sanitize that kind of stuff. And the other stuff they didn't sanitize, I mean, David Rudiak, Dr. David Rudiak, does all the interactions with Vannevar Bush and the Research and Development Board, and there you can see all sorts of stuff going on, meetings taking place during the Roswell period, high officials around Truman who are having these meetings. And you have, for example, the story that Billy Cox tells, where this Ben Games guy is flying this General Craigie into Roswell, and he stays overnight and goes to whatever and says, I have to go back and tell the president. So you have these kind of things. But in terms of the records, I mean, how would they know? I mean, if people sort of figure that there's this cover-up. I have found, and I've dealt with a lot of the archivists at a lot of the libraries, that it's not the archives, for sure. I mean, these people are just as interested as you and I as finding out what's going on.
Okay, well, we'll get into more of what's going on in our next segment. Grant Cameron joins us. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey, neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Spring and a new growing season are here. Plan a healthy garden easy and fast with Organicaseed.com. Easy because Organicaseed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to Organicaseed.com, spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-C-A-Seed.com. Organicaseed.com. Remember, Organicaseed is healthy seed.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Our exploration of what the government knows and what they didn't know, trying to figure out what's happening. Now, I'm going to ask you this crazy question before we get back to pursue what we were talking about. The crazy question being, there's this overreaching, overarching conspiracy that starts with this crazy case back in the 1940s, the Maury Island incident in the state of Washington, one of the characters involved there in this alleged hoax, Fred Lee Chrisman. Later goes on radio as a broadcaster, a conspiracy theorist. Some say he was actually at Dealey Plaza in the days of the Kennedy assassination in Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas. Uh-huh. Anything to that at all?
I've looked at it. It's one of those, it's almost like a disinformation thing. It just sort of swirls around and it sort of looks like, you know, he may have been there and there may have been this connection. But then you look at the Maury Island thing and it starts to fall apart and it's just, is cases that are that old and have that much. I looked at it. I couldn't establish anything firm on it, no.
Okay.
It's a weird connection. I'll agree. I mean, it's a weird connection. This guy suddenly reappears in the Kennedy administration.
Right.
But there are some of these weird connections where these people, I mean, there's one, I'll give you a weird one. I mean, James Webb appears every time there's a crash. 47, he was, and he had different jobs in different White Houses. 47, he's there meeting with the president a couple days before or after Roswell, the Kecksburg crash, he's there. He's the head of NASA at the time. He just appears every time there's a major incident. James Webb was involved, and he really doesn't go anywhere. It's just this, he just happened to be there all the time, and it was kind of weird. So a lot of ufology is like that. I mean, it's this sort of smoke and mirrors type thing where you get stuff, and then the disinformation guys throw a bunch of stuff in there, and they want people to talk about it, and the general concept comes out, there are crashes, there's a live alien, this kind of stuff. But the actual nailing it down, they've got it to the point where nobody can nail it down, and that's what they want. The cover-up has to continue. That's the critical part of the whole thing. Because a lot of the weird things they do, for example, we have which goes back to this thing about the gradual disclosure. 1969, they closed down Blue Book. Okay, so they shut it down. Quarles was the Air Force guy that shuts it down, secretary. 1973, they approached Robert Emmenager and said, we want you to do all these documentaries And the last one we wanted to do was on UFOs. We wanted to sort of cover it under all these other documentaries for the Defense Department. And so he does this whole documentary, and then years later he's talking to me. And I keep asking him, well, why did they contact you, Bob? Like, why did the government cooperate with you? Because it appears like everybody cooperated with him. And he said, well, I'll ask Coleman. So he phones up Bob Coleman, who was the guy who pulled the Holloman Air Force Base film, who agreed to the script. They went over the script and agreed with all this sort of stuff and put him in contact with people and stuff. And he said, Bill, he says, you know, I got a question for you. You know, when we were doing this documentary in 1970s, why did you cooperate with us? And Coleman says to him, when the Secretary of the Air Force tells you to do something, you do it. Secretary of the Air Force was Quarles, the same guy that shut down Blue Book. So he shuts down Blue Book, ends the UFO thing, like it's dead. It's dead in the water. There's no more UFOs. It's like it's all nonsense, whatever. So why in 1973 do you come back and pour gas on the embers and start the fire again? Why would you go back, give Bob Emmenegger all this stuff, and give him a legitimate, hardcore story, the 1959 psychic incident that nobody had ever heard before, which involves Art Lundahl, the head of the CIA guy, being involved in this case? Why would you dump all this stuff into the UFO community when the UFO community was dead? NICAP, it was all self-destructing, the same as after Bill Moore in 89. Everything self-destructed. It was like ufology was, nobody wanted to touch it. So why do you come back and stir it up again, put more stuff into the UFO community? There has to be a reason, and that's why I think the idea that they're trying to get stuff out without interrupting the cover-up is a legitimate theory. It may be wrong, but that's what I think is going on.
Well, what kind of long-range plan are we talking about here? Are we going to be talking about this if we're still alive 50 years from now? Well, they're still engaged in gradual disclosure, and, you know, eventually it's going to come out.
Absolutely. I've always said there's no way I will see the end of this thing. To me, my thing is just to put down the history of what happened as best as I can for future generations. I think not a chance are we going to see this in the next little while. I mean, you have to look at how much do you think they have control over what's going on. And John Alexander, and that's where he makes the point. There seems like there's nothing going on. They really don't have any control. If this is going on, and John says that they have instruments that pick these things up, they can't control any of it. So, I mean, how many years is it going to be till they get control of it? Once they get control of it, because if you're talking to the president, you say, Mr. President, just give us 10 more years. If you give us 10 more years.
Yeah, but isn't there a contingency plan? Say there's a massed landing.
Oh,
and the mass landing occurs around the world in all the major cities. We have we have Independence Day, we've got these huge motherships over major cities. Whatever the event is, don't we have some contingency plan? We hope
they would have a that's where Kid Green talks about that thing. You put in all this stuff about live alien, about aliens eating people and all sorts of totally wacko stuff, and then when it comes right down to it, you say, well, no, they're not eating us. It's just ETs coming to visit us, and everybody goes, oh, okay, that's okay. And that's Kid Green saying that. So that would be your contingency plan, which is probably still going to cause a lot of problems. But I think it's as long as you can hold this thing off. If I was in their position, I've said this numerous times, if I was in the position of advising the president on this situation, I would tell them to do exactly what they're doing right now. I would be part of the cover-up. I'm not on their side, so I'm playing the disclosure thing. But I can see. And the reason I went through this whole scenario of trying to understand why the government was doing this, I couldn't figure out why Jimmy Carter had changed. Jimmy Carter goes in, he says, I'm going to release the UFO stuff, I'm interested in all this stuff. He walks in, and he appears to do nothing. He did do some stuff, but he appears to do nothing. So what is it that they told Jimmy Carter that changed his mind to join the other team? And I said, there has to be something that they're telling the president that makes him play the game.
Yeah, but it can't just be somebody in a room with a black briefcase, three men in dark suits. It has to be some compelling evidence that says, listen, Mr. President, this is what's going on. This is the video. This is the tape, depending on the era in which you lived. This is the evidence that is 100% genuine. This is why you can't do it.
Exactly, as they do on everything. That's what I'm saying. Obama has released no secrets on anything. So you start the briefing and you say, okay, this is a top secret briefing, you know, and he knows that it's top secret. If you release it, you're going to end up in jail. We killed this leader. We blew up this country. We did this. And there's 100 things they tell him, but suddenly it's his. and he has to take responsibility for it. So Obama has released nothing. Clinton was the only person that ever released any sort of secret when he talked about this contamination where they were using the plutonium and stuff like that. And Jimmy Carter got in trouble, and there's a cartoon that sometimes I show that was in a newspaper. Jimmy Carter released the stealth technology secret, and he took a big hit for this. It was all sorts of backlash on the fact that he had released the fact that they had the stealth technology. So it's not something the president doesn't release secrets on anything because he's sworn to secrecy. It's his thing. He doesn't step out. They never step out. So it's not that – I don't think it's that hard to get the president to reveal – to keep secret because there's a lot of secrets that the president is keeping.
So it's by force of logic and evidence. It's not like, well, this president might be a loose cannon and he might release his information. Or do you say, hey, Mr. President, you know, if you release this information, you know, it's always possible you're not going to get up tomorrow morning.
Well – I don't know, but I don't think they threaten the president. But I think there's a story about the psychological profiles that certain presidents are told more than others. The Republicans are told more than Democratic presidents. And the idea there was that Bill Clinton, because of his background and running around with women and stuff, was sort of a loose cannon that he could be blackmailed. You didn't want to give Clinton as much as you gave, say, Bush. Which is why when I got the chance to talk to Dick Cheney, and the rumor was always that Dick Cheney had been read in, I asked him the briefing question. That's why I say if you ever come across a president or a vice president or a four-star general or something like that, what you do is you don't ask them, are you interested or whatever, you ask them the briefing question. And the question I asked Dick Cheney was,
under what circumstances did you meet Dick Cheney?
He was on a radio talk show just in April of 2001, just after they came into the White House. He was on the Diana Rehm show, which is a PBS public radio station show in Washington, and she often has officials from the government on her show. He was on there. I had learned how to get on the first call and how to phone in, and so I phoned in to the show. I was the first caller up. I asked the UFO question, and the next five questions were on Halliburton, and he was absolutely furious when it was all over. And
I'll ask you what the answer was in a moment, okay? And maybe we could have someone do a search online to see if they can find the audio for that show, unless you have it.
There.
We'll ask about that, too. Grant Cameron joins us. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.